Welcome back to the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast, the 20 minutes a week where Mitchell dials his humor back to 25%. It's really tough, but he somehow makes the sacrifice because he's here with his wife, Katie.
Hey.
Who is so serious.
It's true. I did have to ask Mitch to dial his humor down because when he's being so goofy, I just can't. I can't even.
I don't call it goofy. I call it funny.
All right. Whatever you want to tell yourself.
All right. We are in part two of a two-part series on
motherhood.
Yep. And that's why I'm here talking to you today. This week, we're going to talk about a very, very important topic. Not only is it very, very important, but it's very near and dear to both Katie and I's heart. Discipleship. And how do we disciple our kids? And what does even discipleship mean?
Yeah, it's going to be a great episode, so be sure you stick around. I did want to mention that Heavenly Minded Mom just released. It's official. It's out to the world. Everyone who pre-ordered from Amazon and possibly other sellers as well already have it in their hands. So I am so grateful, so excited. Cannot wait to hear what you think about it. Please let me know. You can email me, katie@embracingasimplerlife.com, and share your reactions. Or if you share on social media, which I would be so grateful for, please use the hashtag HeavenlyMindedMom. That way I will be able to see the post as well, as long as it's public. And that would just really mean a lot to me. I am watching that hashtag on Facebook and Instagram specifically. Also, for those of you who have pre-ordered the book and have it, it would mean a lot to me if you would be willing to leave a review as soon as you are ready. Particularly on Amazon, reviews are very important in the success of the book. The more reviews it has, the more Amazon will organically show it to shoppers. And I believe 50 reviews is an important benchmark. So if you feel ready or you feel like you have a pretty good sense of it, maybe you got it a little bit early, as many of you did, and you could leave a review, I would be so grateful. I wanted to share a couple of more reviews that readers have left. This one is from Cheryl M. She says, "This is a wonderful devotional for moms. What I love most about it is that each devotional is short and manageable, but is so deep and really makes you reflect and grow spiritually. Heavenly Minded Mom is filled with deep, theologically sound truths, and I love that. There are also scriptures that encourage you to dig deeper on your own and not just rely on what the author is telling you. A must read for all moms who want to be reminded of the eternal significance of the work they do each and every day." I love that.
Sarah says, "Heavenly Minded Mom is a wonderful devotional for Christian mothers in all walks of life. Katie, the author, has a way of lovingly convicting and encouraging the reader with each new page. I would recommend this devotional to all moms!" Exclamation point.
So if you haven't ordered yet, please do. I would love for you to join us.
Last week we talked about
serving in motherhood.
And it was great.
If we don't say so ourselves.
Yes, we are quite stuck up with ourselves. That's true.
So if you missed it, loop back. Good stuff. That was part one in a two-part series, Motherhood in Light of Eternity.
This week we're talking about discipleship, like I said, and I want to start off with a little story. A story about a man named Dallas. He wasn't from Dallas, he was from Missouri, but his name was Dallas Willard, and you might have heard of him before. If not, he was a great Bible scholar and philosopher and teacher. And when he was 2 years old, his mom died, and his mom said something to his dad on her deathbed. It was the last thing she said. She said, "Always keep eternity before the children." And that is a very profound and important statement. Always keep eternity before the children.
I think that's easy to see when you're facing death. And suddenly you realize how much eternity matters and how much we should be living for that before it's too late. So what does that mean as parents? How do we keep eternity before our children? And why is it important?
In Isaiah 40, starting with verse 6, it says, "A voice says, 'Cry out.' And I said, 'What shall I cry?' All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.
So there are things that will not last. We know this. People are like grass, but their souls are eternal. We have an eternal destination. So people are eternal, and God's word is eternal. So it makes sense that we need to invest the eternal word of God into the lives of our children. And we believe that the most effective way to do that is through something called discipleship.
Here's what it's not. It's not just reading him Bible stories at night, although that's a very good practice. It's not just taking him to church, although that's a very good practice. It's so much more than that. Don't stop there. Let's do more, people!
So I think it's important to look at the model that Jesus set for us. Do you think?
He's pretty important. I think that's a great idea.
So discipleship is a concept that Jesus practiced. You've probably heard of the 12 disciples. He didn't just want people to know about the Bible or to know Bible knowledge. He wanted to help them see how it applied to the world, how it applied to life. So as he went, he taught them. The disciples lived with him around the clock. They did ministry with him. They walked along the road with him, sat at the table with him. And in real time, he showed them what this meant. In real situations, he taught them God's word and how it applied to their living. For 3 years, he did this with 12 disciples. And by the end of that time, they were truly equipped for a powerful life with God.
That's a great example. Except Jesus isn't here right now on this earth, but he is everywhere. But he did tell us right before he left, right before he went back to heaven, in Matthew 28, he gave us what we Christians call the Great Commission. He told us as followers of Jesus that we have, and I quote, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus, that's him talking, "therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So even though Jesus isn't here with us right now in bodily human form, he is always with us, like he said in Matthew 28. Not only that, but he commands us and tells us to teach them everything that Jesus has taught. And by them, he means everybody, including your children and my children and Katie's children.
So we've sent missionaries around the world in pursuit of the Great Commission. But what we need to realize as mothers and fathers is that this is for us too. In the model of discipleship, Christ was living with the disciples. That's quite similar to parents with their children. We might not be with them every moment of every day. We're sending them out at times, but they're with us and we have an influence in their lives and time with them that is completely unparalleled. We have an opportunity to invest the word of God into their lives. And I think it's important to point out, a disciple is a follower. Disciples are followers of Jesus. So it's not a kid who knows a few isolated Bible stories with no real idea why they matter. This is a kid who learns to obey God's word, as we heard in the Great Commission, which Mitch read.
It's about the relationship, right? It's not about the knowledge or the know-how.
It's about application, I think. So the knowledge is important, but it's so much more.
It's so much more. Because at the heart of it, is a relationship. It is a follower. It is knowing what it is, but also how to make it actually take place.
So we want to dig into this at a practical level, which is what Mitch has been itching to do this whole podcast. I've kept having to reel him back in and delete stuff because he wants to get all practical and it wasn't to that section yet.
Okay, the jokes are my game.
So, Mitch, what does this look like in practice?
Well, thanks for asking. Basically, it's everything that I'm bad at. So, number one thing I want to talk about is verbalize what you're thinking. And I have to work really hard at doing this. But we often communicate with God, at least I do, in my mind. And sometimes we need to verbalize that and say it out loud or say what we're observing that God is doing in our lives, around us, or through us.
Maybe You're driving home in a rainstorm at night and it doesn't feel safe, and you begin praying for God to get you home safely. That's an opportunity to change those prayers from internal to out loud and start praying in a way that the kids can hear, so that they see what it looks like to turn to God in a stressful situation, and they get to glorify God with you if you do get home safely. And if you don't, then those are important conversations to have too. But just really digging into the hard and real times of life, of bringing God into them and what it looks like in practice to think through the grid of biblical truth and apply it to decision making.
Or maybe you sin and you mess up and you do something wrong in front of your kids and everybody knows it. And then you pray and ask for forgiveness, not only from your kids, but also from God.
It's easy to overlook that, but it's so integral to the discipleship process. We have to humble ourselves and be intentional to let our kids in all the way to see what life with God really looks like.
And to know that we're human and that we mess up. That's what I like. All right, moving on. Next thing we want to talk about is use Bibles.
All right, moving on to the next point. No, let's talk about that for a minute.
Use age-appropriate Bibles, Bibles that your kids will understand at whatever level they're at, and stories that they'll understand at whatever level they're at. But don't hold them back either. Don't leave them at a kid's level so that when they're a teenager, they're even reading stories that are designed for four-year-olds. Let's build as they get older and develop and understand more and more. Let's have an appropriate Bible for them at that time.
Yeah, obviously this point isn't taken from a Bible verse or something like that. This is really just from practice in our household that we have had really good luck with certain age-appropriate Bibles to help even a two-year-old, a three-year-old, a four-year-old begin connecting with God. And we're also really big believers in helping them understand the actual Bible and not just sticking in the Bible storybooks. Even, actually, we started our daughter in an actual Bible at age 5 as soon as she was starting to learn to read. And she loves turning the pages in it, poring over it. She has an attachment with her Bible. And actually, she and I have started over the past month reading it together every single night after the other younger kids go to bed. So it's really special, and praying together. And that has sparked a lot of good conversations. So I would be happy to put some links in the show notes to kids' Bibles that we've had really good luck with. And also the early Bible. I think it's an NIRV, a New International Reader's Version that we have that we're using with our six-year-old right now. And it's just a little bit lower reading level, but it's the full Word of God, if that makes sense.
And that works very well into our next point, which is when they get into a full Bible, they can see that full overarching story that is weaved throughout Scripture. And point number 3 is help your child understand that big continuous story that starts in Genesis with creation, and the word Jesus is there at the beginning, and it weaves its way all the way through Jesus' death and resurrection and all the way to Revelation and the end times and Jesus returning. That's a story that we need to help them see and understand, because it's hard to understand. It took me a long time to figure out and see that story in Scripture. Help your kids see that at a young age, and that'll help.
You know, I was in college before I understood that all those Bible stories flow from generation to generation. It's like this continuous story. The reason that Israel was in slavery in Egypt in the Old Testament was because Joseph was sold into slavery and became a prince there and moved his whole family there. And then a few generations later, they were thriving, and the Pharaoh that looked on them favorably was gone. And now they began to be oppressed. If you can show your kids how it's all connected, I feel like it really helps with biblical literacy and understanding. But in order to do that, we kind of have to understand it first as parents. And I had read the Bible through, but the Bible is not in chronological order. So it's not always completely intuitive how the story is connected upon just reading it.
Unless you're reading the Bible through a year in chronological order.
Oh, yeah, like I am. And some of you are doing as well. We invited you into that back in December. But there's also a book a Bible, kind of, that's been put together called The Story. And what it does is it highlights scripture and it puts it in a chronological order and it tells the story of the Bible. So it's only the parts of scripture that drive the story forward. So for example, you're not going to have the entire book of Psalms. You're not going to have everything the prophets ever said. You're only going to have a few excerpts that really push the story forward.
All right. PP number four, that would be practical point number four, goes right back to number one. And it is...
And three.
Well, I mean, they all tie together in some way, being ridiculous. But discover what God's word says and how awesome and rich and deep it is for yourself. And then tell your children what you're learning and how you're applying it. That is super hard to do. People like me who want to keep everything inside, but no, we've got to let it out and show our kids that we're learning and growing right alongside of them. And not only that, but if we can teach them what we're learning, that sinks it deeper into our heart and it gives them a great authority on God's word and God's scripture and a practical way to apply it to their lives.
So that might sound like just sitting across the dinner table from your husband and saying, hey, what have you been reading in the Bible lately? And inviting them to share. Or maybe what you've been reading applies to a situation and comes to your mind throughout the day. So you can just say, hey, Clara, this is so crazy. I was just reading this in the Bible. And now this is what I'm thinking about it and how I'm seeing it in my world. So we first obviously need to make it a priority to be in God's word. And then we need to make an intention to share that.
PP number five, give away lots of money.
Okay.
All right.
Pretty sure that's not what that says, but I like it.
Oh, okay. No, be willing to serve others, including those that have less than us, and model giving sacrificially to your children. Sacrificially means giving something up, right? Making a sacrifice so that you might not have as much, but others are built up because of it.
Yeah. When our children see us and when we take them with us to visit the elderly, to clean up the lawn of someone in need, to deliver a meal to a new mother or to a family who's going through a difficult season, that is an important way to invest in their lives the reward and blessing of serving, which is so critical to being a disciple of Christ. So, in practical terms, we have given you just a small snippet of what discipleship can look like in a family. And it's going to be different, but our purpose here is to get you thinking and to give you some tangible ideas and possibly some new action points.
All right, here we go. What does the Lord delight in? Well, it tells us in Jeremiah 9, verses 23 through 24. It says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord.
I think it can be easy as parents to set our sights on the wrong things for our children. We want them to be wise, strong, rich, successful. But actually, that's not what the Lord delights in. He delights in kindness, justice, and righteousness. And it says, let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me. So this is what we must seek to invest in our children, a knowledge of God, not a knowledge about God, but a knowledge of him personally. He has shown us his character. He has revealed it through creation, through his word, and in our lives as we interact with him personally. And we need to take our children by the hand and lead them to the throne room so that they too can know him.
Amen.
We'll see you next time.